filling in for George Norrie. A creature resembling a panther or even a puma made an unexpected appearance during a live TV segment on Good Morning Britain, a popular morning television show in the UK. They were the hosts were left scratching their heads when they spotted something unusual skulking in the background of a live segment which was being filmed at the Rickmansworth Aquadrome in Hertfordshire, England. During one shot, which saw the camera zoom in on a swan, it was possible to see a large black creature emerging from behind a tree in the background before heading off to the right. Of course, the legends of these wild black cats, pumas, and even tigers roaming the English countryside are, well, they go back hundreds of years. They are so elusive, though, these creatures. So you can check out the story and the video up at the coasttocoastam.com website. It's in the highlight carousel. So check it out. See what you think it is. Is it a puma? Is it a panther? Is it a maybe a domestic cat or a dog? Who knows? All right. Hope you can join us tonight again on Coast to Coast, Saturday night into Sunday morning in the first half. I'll welcome the niece of Betty and Barney Hill, Kathleen Marden, will join me to talk about the 60th anniversary, which is coming up later this fall, of the Betty and Barney Hill alien abduction case, and she'll give us some updates on the scientific investigation of the evidence. And of course, she has a new book, or it's the 60th anniversary edition of her book that she co-wrote with the late Stanton Friedman called Captured. That'll be followed by Gail Lynn. Gail will talk about how a full body light and sound treatment reversed her severe cardiovascular stress diagnosis and inspired her to uncover the history and science behind sound and light and color therapy. That's tonight, Saturday night into Sunday morning with yours truly on Coast to Coast AM. Back to open lines on the other side. Stay with us. We are hearing from inventors and tinkerers on the Coast to Coast tonight on our open line segment. And let's go to Mitch, east of the Rockies in Dayton, Ohio. Sounds like he has perhaps some advice or some help for would-be inventors. Hey, Mitch, welcome. Is Mitch there? Mitch, can you hear me?
Yeah.
No. Oh, I think he's there. I heard something. Mitch, one more time.
Yeah.
Hi there. Go ahead.
Hey, yeah. What I was going to tell them is that I got like 5 patents, right? They got a provisional patent. Okay? They call them poor man patents. You know, I pay about $60 to $80 for them. And they last last about a year. Can you hear me?
I see. Okay. I can, yes. So they're called provisional patents.
Provisional patents. They got all the weight. They have all the weight of original patent. Then once you get that, you got a patent. Then what you do is, like, if I got something for a car, then I'll go to the submission department. You know, I can email them, let them know who I am. Boom, boom. Then they might say, well, send it in or whatever. They get interested. You know what I'm saying? As long as you have that patent.
Right, right.
And there's something else I want to touch bases on the Bible. I've been to the Bible since 1978, studying it. The guy you just was talking to, he's right around the corner on the right thing, right? There's a guy named Les Feldick. You two, Les Feldick or Robert Breaker, them two right there, Les Feldick and Robert Breaker, they're the heaviest people I know about the Bible. Like I said, Revelation is books like Isaiah and them is talking about Revelation, okay? The prophecy. Then you miss, I'll tell you something else you missed, the tribulation. Before the tribulation, you're going to have the rapture. The rapture when he's going to come and take all his people out, you know?
Yeah, that's kind of a controversial, it's not agreed upon by all the different branches of Christianity. Some subscribe to the idea of a tribulation and others do not. So anyway, Mitch, I wanted to just, if we could, circle back to the inventions right now. So you've taken out a number of provisional patents. Can you share just a couple of the ideas that you've had, some of your inventions?
Yeah, I got right now about the I got one I'm about to put out that deal in Tupperware, you know.
Tupperware, okay.
Tupperware. Got one dealing, like health reform, like wheelchairs. Got one dealing with your foot, with shoes, with your toes, with socks. You know, because I'm the type of person that if something bug me, feel like I just got this knack. If something bug me and I sit around, I said, well, what, got to be a better way, you know. But the problem is, too, that I talked to a cousin of mine last week and about helping me. He got money. You can't get nobody to invest, you know, even family and stuff. You say idea or invention, you know, they get to looking like, yeah, he's nuts, you know. But,
well, I'm sure they called Edison and Tesla nuts too, Mitch, so don't be discouraged.
You know, some of the Edison, what's his name? The only one booked him was J.P. Morgan.
Right.
Okay. And also, people don't know Tesla out there, but Tesla worked under Edison.
So he that's right.
If it were for Edison, he wouldn't have, probably wouldn't even known about electricity. You know what I'm saying? That's another thing. People can,
right.
Like, I've got cousins that I run my ideas to. For example, one cousin now, he could take
You're kind of cutting in and out, Mitch, so I'm going to have to leave the call there, unfortunately, because your phone is cutting in and out on us. But thank you for the call. Yeah, you mentioned Edison and Tesla. Tesla did work for Edison for a while. They had a falling out. I think, if I remember correctly, Edison was having some problems with some generators or something, and he couldn't get anyone to fix it. He asked Tesla. He said, if you fix this, I'll pay you X amount of dollars. Tesla went out and he solved the problem when no one else could. And then apparently Edison said, or reneged on their agreement to pay him. He says, oh, I was just kidding. And so Tesla quit. But can you imagine if those two had worked together for much longer, how the world might have changed? Because, you know, Tesla had these, you know, brilliant ideas that seemed to come from the ether, from the dream world. And yet then you had, and he wasn't much on, you know, marketing and promotion, and he wasn't really business minded. But then you had Edison, who was. So if those two mega talents had been combined, who knows what they would have come up with working together. Unfortunately, though, they had a falling out. And so we'll never know. All right. Let's say hi to Beth is in Bristol, Wisconsin on the wild card line. Beth, good morning and welcome.
Hi, Richard. This is like a date where you think you're going to get stood up and then he finally shows up.
Was it worth the wait?
I'm waiting to find out. But props,
all right.
Donna, you really are keeping her busy. Give her a night where she can file her nails, pop bubble gum, and listen to the radio.
All right.
The reason I called.
All right, go ahead.
You have had me completely drawn to the little radio in my bathroom. Just so I don't.
All right, that's a good thing.
No.
Okay.
Your grace with people, and I've jumped the bridges from your segments, and your musical drops are not lost on me. I completely get the succinctity of them.
All right,
you
wonderful.
Know, you were doing a biblical thing. So anyway, about the inventions, I think I have like an outside commentary. You know, first of all, to Andrew in Iowa, I think a good alley for him would be home security systems. Because I was with you when you were starting to get him. So in other words, he's talking about like pull a cord and drop it out the window if there's smoke in the house.
Right.
Home security systems, I think, would be a perfect alley for that.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Right, right. As a potential market or partner.
When you lift the window, the thing slides out.
Yes.
But one of the things I said to Donna was that you said a lot of inventions come out of love, problems. I think that laziness is the mother of invention, not necessity.
Laziness. That's interesting. Sure.
What am I,
yeah.
What
The electric can opener, right? Someone got lazy, didn't want to open a can with a can opener, so they invented...
Dancing all day, right?
But, you're onto something, absolutely.
But, no, back in the day when I was wiping the children's little bottoms, I thought the baby wipes were too cold, so I'd hold them in my hands real close to keep them warm. This is what I said to Donna. It could come from a simple little thing. But then I was restricted from transportation, and I had a little electric scooter, and it was, I think, you know, when Uncle Al was preaching to the choir about the environment, and I used to go down to the liquor store to get a little loaf of bread, and I'd say, how come you guys can drive around and get gas, but I can't go and get my little motor scooter revved up? So I kind of, in my mind, invented places where you could like roll down the tollway and pull your scooter over or your electronic vehicle over. And again, this is what I want to say to inventors. First of all, you're ahead of your time. Second of all, don't be possessive about your ideas. The only way to develop them is to share them.
Open source them.
A lot of people are very possessive about their ideas and inventions. But,
well, yeah, I talked to an investor. Again, this was out in Spokane. I went to one of Aaron Murakami's science and technology and energy conferences, and I spoke to an angel investor, and he said exactly that one of the main obstacles for inventors is they become so possessive of their device that they become so paranoid that they don't trust anyone. They don't let anybody in, and they're too close to it, so they don't. And they often don't have the ability to pitch it to investors. They don't have the ability to come up with a, you know, like a business plan, or at least to reach out to people that could help them. So they become so insular, really, if you will, and paranoid. Good advice. Appreciate it, Beth. Let's say hi to Marcel is in London, Ontario. Hello, Marcel.
Hello, Richard. Sorry, I'm not an inventor, but I got one heck of a story for you. And it involves a synchronicity that occurred last time you were on Coast when you had that musicologist on.
And, oh, yes, yes.
Now, later on in the show, you played a song. But you asked people to call in either some of the topics we could call in was about Easter or brushes with greatness, right?
Yes,
I called in about to tell you about my brushes with greatness, but then your guest was reconnected with you, and I thought, well, I'm not going to get on, so I hung up. But I was going to tell you this story of one of my brushes with greatness about when I met Howlin' Wolf, blues legend Howlin' Wolf, in a bar.
Oh, yes.
And we were discussing Jeff Beck's version of Ain't Superstitious, which appears on his Truth album with Rod Stewart. And
yes.
The liner notes to that album, Jeff Beck writes, this song was written by Howlin' Wolf, and I stole the guitar riff from him, but it's okay because I asked him, and he said it was okay to do that. And I said to Howlin' Wolf, is it true that Jeff Beck actually asked you if it was okay for him to steal your guitar riff for that song? And Howlin' Wolf said, oh, yeah, he asked me. I said it was cool, just a good boy, you know. And then after I didn't get onto your show, you actually played that song, Ain't Superstitious.
Oh, that's right. I remember that, yes.
And it's like that was the reason why I was calling you. And the song's like 53 years old. And I was calling you to tell you about my meeting with Howlin' Wolf and that song. And then you ended up playing the song. I don't know if I remember.
How did I do that? How did I know? How did I do that? It's a mystery, wrapped in a riddle, dipped in a chocolatey coating.
But I also
so you had a you had a
and Muddy Waters. I drank champagne with Muddy Waters.
Wow!
In London,
what a great story.
Fly Fogles was a bar in London in the '70s and eighties, and it seemed that every great act that went to Toronto appeared in London the night before. I guess it was for them to tighten up their set or something. I don't know. But
interesting.
So
I hope you got a picture with you and some of these people.
Sorry?
I hope you got a picture with you and Muddy Waters and with Howlin' Wolf.
See, I knew the management of this bar, Freifogel's, and I used to go there before they opened up, and after late hours, I'd hang out with, like, Muddy Waters, Howlin' Wolf, Long John Baldry, Willie Dixon. I met Richard Blackmore. Roger McGuinn was there one night. Todd Rundgren. Cool. But anyway, I was talking to Willie Dixon. Now, he had a plagiaristic suit against Led Zeppelin for this song, Whole Lotta Love.
Yes.
And it was settled out of court, but he got money for that song.
I think that happened a few times with Zeppelin, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, yes. Of course, Stairway to Heaven didn't jive with the court. But so on the first album, Led Zeppelin, they did the You Shook Me and I Can't Quit You, Babe, written by Willie Dixon. And it says Willie Dixon's name under those songs. And then his daughter came up to him. I was talking to Willie Dixon. I bought him a beer. And he said, his daughter came up to him and said, Daddy, Daddy, Led Zeppelin stole one of your songs, Whole Lotta Love. And he goes, yeah, well, they always put my name on there. And his daughter said, no, no, they didn't put your name. He goes, well, let me see that thing. So he did a plagiaristic suit against Led Zeppelin, and he got a lot of money for it. And Long John Baldry was great talking to. He was telling me a little party he was at with Rod Stewart and Jeff Beck and Jimmy Page. And just met a lot of great people at that bar. And talked to Roger McGuinn, and Richie Blackmore was there. James Cotton.
Like, fantastic.
One heck of a...
All right. Well, sounds like you had some great brushes with greatness, and a great call. Thank you so much for that, Marcel. I think we can squeeze in one more here before the break at the bottom of the hour. Let me refresh my call screener program here. Okay, let's say hi to Jerry in Austin, Texas. Hello, Jerry.
Hello. Hey, Richard.
Hi,
what
Jerry.
A great program. I am an inventor, a successful inventor. I've been an inventor for 40 years now here in Austin, Texas. Of course, Silicon Valley is a very creative place, but Austin is interesting in that we have more patents per capita than anywhere in the country. So as a measure of...
Oh, is that right? Interesting.
It's a very creative
interesting
place. And, you know, some of my inventions in the past, antennas for the military, ozone generator to eliminate staph infections in hospitals, biomass gasification to turn wood into methane and hydrogen. But just a little bit of history. You, of course, the names Tesla and Edison have come up tonight. Edison had almost 1,100 patents. Tesla had 123. But the commercialization of ideas, a business to turn an idea, is often what's missing in an inventor's mindset.
Exactly. 100%. Edison, listen, I got to take a quick time out here. Hold on, and we'll get you back on after the break, Jerry. Can you do that for us? All right, we'll get Jerry to hold on. More calls from inventors, backyard tinkerers, Edisons, Teslas. Back with more on Coast. Stay with us. So we're talking about inventors and inventions, and interesting, in the news section of coasttocoastam.com, there's a story about a Barcelona-based hairstylist. His name is Alexis Ferrara, and he spent years developing a technique that allows him to digitally print colorful designs onto human hair. Alexis started experimenting with hair printing back in 2012 after being asked by hair care brand Wella Professionals to interpret a collection at that year's International Trend Visions Award. The aim was to innovate with a technique not usually used in hairdressing. A photographic printing on hair seemed like the perfect way to graphically tell a story. Ferrer's first attempt managed to get a lot of attention in the world of fashion, and he's been working on refining hair printing techniques ever since. Earlier this year, Ferrer showcased the most recent version of his hair printing technique, which allows him to have colorful, vivid designs digitally printed onto human hair. Although the process was not revealed, The hairstyle is described as a combination of artisanal styles mixed with technology. And again, you can check out the story and these remarkable photographs of these digital images on hair, printed on hair, in the In the News section up at coasttocoastam.com. All right, we're going to get back to, I believe it was Jerry, an inventor from Austin, Texas. His call is next on Coast to Coast AM. We're back with Jerry in Austin, Texas, and Austin apparently is like a nest of inventors, more patents per capita than anywhere else in the United States. Is that right, Jerry?
Yes. And interestingly enough, Elon Musk just bought a house here.
There you go.
So, of course, Tesla created 123 patents that spawned only three corporations. Edison had 1,100 patents that spawned 75 corporations. So my recommendation is for all inventors to create a corporation that owns your patents. It's easier to sell a company and its property than a patent alone. 100 years ago, the heroes in the world were inventors. Eli Whitney, Alexander Graham Bell, Nikola Tesla, Thomas Edison, that where people recognize that their inventions changed their lives and took the labor off the backs of people. Today, the stars of the world are rock stars and musicians, and unfortunately, inventors are often demonized as individuals too small to do anything on their own. I blame Hollywood for demonizing inventors. There were two movies 50 years ago, The Absent-Minded Professor and Son of Flubber with Fred McMurray.
Fred McMurray, right.
Painted inventors as crazy whack jobs that, you know, blow stuff up in their backyards. But I think it's amazing that we can think of something, put it on paper, build a prototype, and bring it to market. To me, this is the miracle of life.
Right, I agree. I have a special place in my heart for, or inventors have a special place in my heart. I find them just to be remarkable individuals. Aside from the actual, you know, device that they come up with, just that the way they see the world. And I mentioned, I think, Paul Babcock, who invented this machine that, or engine that runs on magnets. And he said something to me that really resonates, and I've heard other inventors say it as well. And that is, first, you invent something in the dream world. And then it comes to fruition. Is that the way that you work, Jerry? It comes to you in the dream world or in a dream state?
Sometimes in a dream, often in the shower. So, to me, that's where it starts, in your mind. And to take something that does not exist into reality, that's a miracle within our own capability. Now, you've mentioned the words over unity and perpetual motion. The patent office will not consider patents that use those words over unity or perpetual
motion. I'm not surprised.
But I'm going to be open-minded and believe that it's possible that, you know, I've had more than one college professor tell me, oh, no, that defies the first and second law of thermodynamics. Well, they said that the Wright brothers were whack jobs as well, and, of course, they defied common knowledge and we're able to fly. So anyway, I'm successful as an inventor. I've taken this opportunity as COVID to expand my operations. I have a fully equipped electronics lab, a wood shop, metal shop, chemistry lab, and I have the ability to create almost anything I can think of.
Now, let me ask you, Jerry, and I'm going to assume that you've been listening for most of the Open Line segment. Did any of the inventions that you heard, did they sound like, you know, really like winners? So, for example, we had, I think that was the first caller who talked about this this device to capture photons as a way of producing energy. What did you think of some of the what you heard tonight?
Well, ultimately, I actually own part of a solar energy business, so I know a little bit about this. A solar panel converts photons to electrons. Einstein proposed that a photon is nothing but a electron that has left the shell of an atom and is flying through space at the speed of light. So it all boils down to the amount of available energy. I think it's all going to be sunlight. You know, all energy in our world is either comes from the sunlight or geothermal energy in the Earth's crust. So, you know, in terms of the fiber optics and a collection of photons, there's devices called concentrating solar panels, but those have actually fallen out of favor because of the low cost of just straight polycrystalline and monocrystalline solar panel.
Ah, interesting.
So
there's
I'm
a guy
not
here
putting
in
it down totally, but then you know,
right.
the source of energy has to be great to get great power out. So
all
anyway,
right.
I just want to encourage everyone. I'm a millionaire off of my inventions. All things are possible. Maybe even over unity and perpetual motion. Form a corporation to encapsulate your inventions. Go to friends and family. That I guess that was in the book Think and Grow Rich. Visit the local Angels Club. Speak to a engineering professor at your local university. Run your ideas past them. I'm sure they'd be glad to talk to you. They should meet with the public. And don't have your invention made in China. It will be cloned.
All right. All good advice. Jerry, thank you so much. Terrific hearing from you. I appreciate you calling in with some wonderful insights into inventions. Let's see. Let's say hi to Dee Dee in Seattle. Hello, Dee Dee. Good morning.
Hello there. how are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm good. I have an invention. First off, I am a retired technical designer. I worked in an engineering department building airplanes.
Wow.
So my invention, first off, all through the night, I wake up with ideas, and I have a tablet and a pencil right beside my bed, and I jot down my invention ideas. But my most special one is that I came up with this idea of a clothes dryer, and there's an attachment that I want to integrate to a clothes dryer that would do a certain thing that no clothes dryer does today. You know, I'm almost absolutely sure. I have done some research to see if my idea is out there, and I absolutely know it isn't, because it came straight out of my head. Because I used to go out to the laundry room in the apartment building, and I said, oh, God, you know, like, I don't mind washing and drying my clothes, but I wish that a clothes dryer would do this. You know, since I have to go out here to the laundry room. And this invention would also work very well on, you know, any clothes dryer in someone's home as well. And I'm just really
Can you tell us what it is you'd like? Can you tell us, without giving it all away, what it is you'd like the clothes dryer to be able to do?
You know, even my brothers will ask me. And if I say what? It's so simple, you know. It's kind of simple, but it's one of those things that people would say, "Oh wow, why didn't somebody think of that long time ago?" You know, yeah, it's one of those.
Yes.
Things. Yeah, and you know, LG has the clothes
yes.
dryer that you could put the item in there. You take it off your body after a day work. You take that dress off and you put it into that type of dryer that LG has, and it will refreshen the dress. It will refreshen it, and
right without having to wash it.
Took it out. Yeah. Almost like, you know, the professional clothes drying places. So my invention that goes, you know, even better than that.
Oh, sounds like you might have a winner there, Dee Dee. So what are you looking for? Some angel investor or to help you make a prototype or an...
Okay. Like I say, I worked with engineers before I retired, and I feel that I need to get with an engineer to help me integrate my component to the clothes dryer. And also, I'm going to see a patent attorney and kind of run it by a patent attorney, and maybe he can advise me, you know, what type of person to get together with. Because if I get together with an engineer, then we'll be going half and half on the invention. It's my idea, but he would do the engineering, you know, electronic engineering, mechanical engineering.
Well, I wish you all the luck in the world, Dee Dee. It sounds like, without knowing too much about it, when people say to you, why didn't someone think of that before? That, to me, is an indication you've got yourself a winner. So I hope it comes through for you and makes you hundreds of millions of dollars. And I'll leave it up to you if you want to leave your name and number with Donna, our on-air producer. And you never know who's out there listening. Maybe there'll be an engineer, someone who's in that industry that says, wow, I'd like to know more. And then they can reach out. Again, that's your call. But thank you for that, Dee Dee. Again, I wish you all the luck in the world. Let's say hi to Jersey Doug, checking in from where else? Pennsylvania. No, New Jersey. Hello, Jersey Doug.
Good morning. How's everything today?
Not bad, my friend.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. I'm going to go a little bit on the opposite twist here. You're about the inventions and whatnot. We had a gentleman that recently was arrested here. And it was hard for them to find him because he kept switching post office boxes. It turns out he was a salesman. During the coronavirus, he lost everything. So he started going ahead and using his salesmanship. And he would take these magazines that we have here on the East Coast. I don't know if you have them there. Is it like the Penny Saver or the Auto Shopper?
Yes.
And, in the back, if you look, they have all these different little things that you could send away for. The first thing that he had put in was, times are hard and they're going to get harder. If you wish to make a few extra dollars, maybe even more, send $5 for information. What he did was, I don't know how many people sent in, but plenty of them did. And he sent back a letter saying, put an ad in the newspaper like I did. He went ahead and changed the post office box. He puts in another one. It says, are you losing your hair? Are you thinning? Do you wish to never lose another hair again? Send $25, guaranteed to work. Again, all of these people fell for it. He sent them back a pair of tweezers and a Ziploc bag and said, when you get done brushing or combing your hair, pull your hairs out and put them inside the bag. When you get done showering, make sure you get your hairs out of the drain. Put them also in the bag. Keep the bag in a safe place. You'll never lose another hair. And when I heard this, that they had finally gotten a hold of this guy, it was it was incredible. He had two or three other ones that he had put in there along those lines, and it was
that sounds like a scheme that goes back a long, long time. Fess up, Jersey Doug. How much did you pay him?
Now I've got all my hair. I'm doing all right in that department. I didn't have to send them no money, but
that's a funny story.
Story locally on the news, and then seeing that they finally got the guy, it was a kick in the head to see all of these people that are trying to make an extra dollar from working at home during a virus and whatnot, and they went ahead and got this guy who planned his own way to make an extra buck.
All right, my friend. Thank you so much, Jersey Doug.
Have a good night. And good
Always
night
good to hear from
listeners.
You. Thank you. Thank you. I think we can squeeze in one more. Let's see. Joel is in Long Beach, California. Joel, you're going to be our last call.
Hello. How are you?
Hi there. I'm well, thank you. We just have about a minute and a half here.
Okay, real quickly, I had two. One is bomb-proof air traffic or shipping containers, and the quick one, which is a very low-cost device that removes much of the pain, if not all the pain, of headaches. And it would be a very inexpensive unit. and tested it on dozens of people. It was actually my father's invention, but he died, and it just got lost in the shuffle, and then I found his notes on it, and then I heard you speak tonight earlier, hence my call.
Okay, so for a relief from headaches, so it's not a medicine, it's something...
No, it's not. As a matter of fact, it would be very inexpensive. It has to do with the points of the head, but it's not a vibrator. I hesitate to say too much, other than
right. I understand.
Easy to copy, even by a verbal, explanation. But it deals with certain points of the head, and it's very effective. I used to have friends come over just to have me do their heads, put this device on.
Interesting. So, are you going to take out a patent?
I don't think it's really. It could be patented because it's so common. You can change. There's 2,000 different ways to do the very same thing. So what I would be banking on, if some angel out there heard what I'm talking about and wanted to talk, discuss it with me, that's where my target would be. It's the kind of thing it would have to hit the market immediately, and then just be ahead of the rest of it. Nobody's ever done it. They've attempted it, but they haven't actually done it. They overcomplicate.
All right, Joel, listen. Leave your name and number with Donna, and your contact number. And she'll put headache cure next to your name, and then hopefully someone will reach out to you. Thank you for the call. I hope it goes gangbusters for you. All right, that is it for me. Back tonight for George Norrie, George Knapp, Lisa Lyons, Stephanie Smith, Tom Danheiser, Donna Walker, Chris Burrows, Ryan Stacey. We welcome to the Coast family. And in Brantford, Ontario, Scott Park. I'm Richard Serrett. Thank you for your ears and your voices, your beautiful voices. Until tonight, so long for now.